Okay, well, we're going to be in Psalm 42 to begin with, anyway. So, and I'll read all of it so we can get a flow of what it's about. Right, so Psalm 42, it says, "As the deer pants or longs for water brooks, my soul pants. So pants my soul for you, O Lord. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my food day and night, while they continually say to me, 'Where is your God?' When I remember these things, I pour out my soul within me. For I used to go with the multitude. I went with them to the house of God with the voice of joy and praise, with a multitude that kept a pilgrim's feast. Why are you cast down, O my soul, and why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. O my God, my soul is cast down within me. Therefore I will remember you from the land of the Jordan and from the heights of Hermon, from the hill of Mizar. Deep calls unto deep at the noise of your waterfalls. All your waves and billows have gone over me. The Lord will command his loving kindness in the daytime, and in the night his song shall be with me, a prayer to the God of my life. And I will say to God, my rock, why have you forgotten me? Why do I go mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? As with a breaking of my bones, my enemies reproach me, while they say to me all day long, where is your God? Why are you cast down, O my soul? Why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him, the help of my countenance and my God." So, I just wanted to read the whole of the psalm there, just to give you a sort of an overall flavour of it. But really, it's these first couple of verses. As the deer pants for the water brooks, so my soul pants for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. And that's just what's been with me this past week. Now, what I'll say is that these verses here, just in my opinion, haven't had any favours done for them by a particular song, maybe. Mm-hmm. You want me to sing it, Lorraine?
Yeah.
I'm not going to sing it. But we all know how it goes, don't we? Is that enough? No, it's enough. It's a lovely song, isn't it? It's absolutely lovely. Like,
yeah, absolutely.
No idea. But, in my opinion, these verses, every time I read them, that song goes through my head. And, enough. No. But every time I read that song comes into my head. It does these verses no favours whatsoever. Because that song. Well, No. If you go on YouTube, okay, and if you type in YouTube, as the deer pants, you get nice, hazy pictures of a deer. I don't know, in the Rockies somewhere, or, I don't know, in the Cotswolds. Lapping away from a stream, looking really happy and fulfilled and at peace and all of those sorts of stuff. And it's not the correct image. It's not the right image that this is actually painting here. So really, that song's a bit namby-pamby. In my opinion, it's about Bambi. An Ambi Pambi song about Bambi. Right, you're going to remember that though, aren't you? You're going to remember that. So it doesn't really give the picture, that song, in my opinion, doesn't give the picture that this is painting here. And so I want you to delete that song from your mind when you read this. Well, I've been trying actually, but all week it's been going round. All week. But I'm going to press the delete button. Because the picture here isn't one of a nice hazy sunset of a deer lapping. It's not that. It's not that picture. It's about a deer that is, it says, panting, thirsting. Now, I mean, it's very difficult to get, I've looked on Google, I've looked on YouTube, you can't get that image really. I've looked, but all I can imagine is a deer, sort of with its mouth open, maybe with its tongue out, panting and gasping, maybe. That's a very different picture to maybe the one that is sort of traditionally associated with this. Mm-hmm. It'd be a picture of thirsting, and it'd be a picture of desperation, really, for water. Yeah. And that's the picture that is here in these verses, not the one that we like to sing about, or the picture that we get on Google or something like that. So in the whole context of this psalm, all the way through it, David uses this little phrase, doesn't he? He says, "Why are you cast down, my soul? Why are you disquieted within me?" He says that about maybe three times, possibly more, I'm not sure. So that is the context of that, really. That David is in this situation where he is under the cosh, where he's being faced by enemies, and it's not working out at that point in time. It's not working out. It's not, he wants victory over his enemies, but he hasn't got it. He's the one who looks like he's staring defeat in the face in this psalm. And so that's the whole context of what this is talking about. And it's talking not really about a physical thirst here, is it? He's talking about his soul, isn't he? He's talking about something within him. Now, as I've been praying about this, does God ever speak to anybody here in the night? No? Yeah?
Yeah.
So if you ever wake up in the night, just listen to what the Holy Spirit is saying to you. Okay? Because when I woke up in the night the other day, I just got this word in my spirit. And it was this. That these verses were talking about a state of internal being. That sounds a bit wordy, doesn't it? A state of internal being. Mm. That's what this psalm is talking about. It's talking about a state of internal being. Something on the inside. It's talking about what was going on inside the psalmist, David, I believe it probably is. It was talking about that whole process going on within him, that whole war. That whole war against doubt, that whole war against, my back's up against the wall scenario. That's what he's just describing that, and it's a very honest psalm. He's saying, I feel cast down. I feel discouraged. Why are you feeling that way, my soul? Hope in God. And he's trying to encourage himself in that whole process. And he's describing that battle within him as a person who thirsts, who needs something, who's desperate. Okay, is desperate for something to drink, is desperate for something to eat. Okay, that's what he's likening that to. That whole process, that whole feeling of not seeing the victory. Now, I think many of us have felt like that. Maybe we feel like that even now. Now, we haven't really, in our Christian walk, and in the experience that we've had, we've often felt like this. We've felt discouraged. We've felt like our back is against the wall, like we haven't got the victory. Even though we've heard all the preaching, haven't we? We've had all the teaching that we sit at the right hand of God, that we're victorious, that Jesus is raised from the dead, his blood is you know, been shared, is defeated the power of sin, defeated the power of Satan, and we are in him, and we're sat at the right hand of God, victorious. We've heard all that teaching, haven't we? Yeah, we've heard all that. Have we always experienced that?
No.
No. I think we can all safely say that we haven't. Yeah, I'm going to say no, I've not always walked in that. Very, most of the time I haven't walked in that. Most of the time in my Christian walk, which has been a long time, since 1991 to now, I've not really seen that, the power of God, in a way that I want to see the power of God. I think we can all say that, can't we? We've heard about it, we've seen glimpses of it. Sometimes we've tasted it. Sometimes there's been miraculous things that have happened, and there's been a testimony that we can go back and encourage other people with, and we get tastes of it, we get glimpses of it. But then we go through a period of time where we don't see that. We think, oh God, I need something. Lord, I'm thirsting here and I'm hungry for you, because I've seen you move, I've tasted you. And do you know what? I haven't tasted you for a long, long time, Lord. I need something to break in my life. I need something to change in my circumstances. I want something of the power of God to be displayed within the church. I want to see the power of God move in this town, in this nation. We long for those things, don't we?
Don't we?
I think so. I want to see those things, but I haven't seen those things. Just got glimpses of it every now and then. And so it can lead us to be discouraged. It can lead us to question, why am I doing this, God? Why am I bothering? It's too much like hard work. This whole thing, Lord, what's going on? Why is my soul disquieted within me? Why am I cast down, God? Well, it's because we haven't seen you break through yet, Lord. We haven't seen you change things. Things in my life haven't changed to the extent that I wanted it to change. And so that's what this is talking about. And I know that we all can identify with that in some way, shape or form. Because we all long for that. We've just been nodding our head in agreement with that. So really, I just want to start by saying this. What is the state of your internal being? This is talking about that. What is the state within you? Okay? Is it longing, and is it thirsting for the things of God? That's what I want to ask you this morning. That's what I believe the Holy Spirit wants to ask you this morning. Is it longing, and is it thirsting for the things of God? For the power of God, for the water of God, for the food of God. Okay, the manifestation of his working. Are you hungry and are you thirsty for those things? Ask yourself that question. How are you feeling? If you were to be really honest, what is your inner state? Are you a bit discouraged? A little bit? If we were to be honest, sometimes I feel like that a lot. God, come on!
Yeah.
I want to see something change, Lord. But it doesn't. So that is the question. What is the state of your internal being? Is it hungering? Is it thirsting after God? Question one. I just want to read another passage to you. Mark read this last week. Exodus 16. And verses 1 to 3. I think he should have carried on preaching on this. Same theme, hungering and thirsting. So verses 1 to 3. So Mark was talking about this whole process. The children of Israel have been delivered from the land of Egypt. And this miraculous thing has happened where the Red Sea has parted and they've all travelled across and the Egyptians are killed and they're led into this place. After all this amazing stuff has happened, okay? So it says in verse 1, and they journeyed from Elim, And all the congregation of the children of Israel came to the wilderness of Sin, which is between Elim and Sinai, on the 15th day of the second month after they departed from the land of Egypt. Then the whole congregation of the children of Israel complained against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness, and the children of Israel said to them, "Oh, that we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the pots of meat and when we ate bread to the full. For you have brought us out into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger." I mean, yeah, I understand where they're coming from. I'll probably be the first in the queue, to be honest with you. I say, "Where's my dinner? Where's my dinner? I'm really hungry now. I'm really hacked off with this now, because I do like a good dinner." I'd be hacked off. I'd be like, "Where's my dinner? But I've come out here. I've been delivered. We've gone through the Red Sea, and we've not even got anything to eat. What's going on?" I would not be happy. So this miraculous thing happened. They've been set free, and they were led to this place in the wilderness, and they were dissatisfied with the outcome. They were dissatisfied with it. They weren't happy with it. They were dissatisfied with what happened. It was to the extent that they were starting to think, "Well, let's go back to where we came from. Let's go back to Egypt, back to slavery, back to three square meals a day. Let's go back to that. It's better than this. It's absolutely 100% better than this." Mm-hmm. Ever felt dissatisfied with your walk with God?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah? Ever felt dissatisfied with what you thought God should be doing? Why is this happening, Lord? I'm just trying to get through life. Now this is happening. I felt dissatisfied many times. Like, God, what is going on here? Now, Mark sort of alluded to it the other week when he started to speak on this a little bit. God led them there. Do you know that? God led them to this place. God led them to this place of hunger and thirst. It was God that took them there. Now, we Christians don't like to... Well, I don't really hear many people preach on that. And when Mark started to preach on it last week, I thought, "Yeah, go on. Let's go there. We don't like to think that way. We don't think, "Oh, God has led me here. God has led me to this place of hunger and thirst." We don't like to think that way. But the Bible is very clear that He did lead them there, to that place. Hot, dry, thirsty, nothing to eat, nothing to drink. Deuteronomy, chapter 8. This proves it. Verse 2 and verse 3. It says, "And you shall remember that the Lord your God led you all the way these 40 years." So this is Moses later on doing his great big review of everything that took place in Genesis, Exodus and all that. "To humble you and to test you." Oh no, what God doesn't test us, does he? Yes, God does test us. Sorry, God does test us. "To know what was in your heart, whether you would keep his commandments or not. So he humbled you, allowed you to hunger." So if you want to underline your Bible at any point, underline that little phrase there. "Allowed you to hunger." Okay, God allowed them to hunger. God allows us to hunger. He does. God allows that. God leads us to that place where that happens. "And fed you with manna which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that he might make you know that man shall not what? Live by bread alone, but every word that proceeds from the mouth of the Lord." We all know that, don't we? It's all drummed into us, that. Jesus quotes that, doesn't he? When he's being tested. Oh, being tested. okay, by the devil in the wilderness of all places, when he was fasting of all things, when he was hungry and when he was thirsty. Yeah? That's what God does. He leads us to a place of dissatisfaction. And it doesn't always feel very good. Doesn't always feel pleasant. It's not really a place where you want to put your hands in the air and roll around on the floor very much. Why did he do that? Why did God do that? Because they needed to learn to become dependent on God, didn't they? Because from that point onwards, that's when the manna started to turn up on the ground, and they got tired of that, didn't they?
Yeah.
They got tired. Oh my word, not again. Oh, can we not have some, you know, a roast dinner? Can I not have roast lamb, Lord, this week? No, it's manna again. And oh, they had the crap, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, they got pretty hacked off with it. But it was enough to sustain them, wasn't it? And don't you feel like that sometimes? God gives us just enough to sustain us and to get through. But they weren't satisfied with this. They weren't happy with this situation. God led them there. But he wanted them to be dependent upon him. They needed to learn the dependence on God. And that's what God does with all of us. That is the same process that everybody goes through. We all go through that process. God wants each and every one of us to be dependent on him. But that is more challenging than we realise. When we first come to God and he touches us and it's all wonderful and you get filled with the Holy Spirit and the miraculous things happen. I'm not saying that doesn't happen, that can't happen all the time, but I know from my experience, I know from my own observation, that then there's another place that God takes people to. From that. From the place of deliverance and going through the Red Sea, which is what we all experience, isn't it? Many of us experience that power of God. God says, well, I'm going to take you somewhere else now, but it's not as, it's not like the Red Sea experience. It's a different experience, and you need to go to that place. We all go to that place. And so I'm going to say that we have to accept that God leads us to the place of being dissatisfied. Okay, we have to accept that. If you're dissatisfied this morning, then I want you to accept that God has led you there. If you're not satisfied with your walk with God, God has led you to that place. If you're dissatisfied with where this church is, God has led you to that place. If you're dissatisfied with the church in this town, God has brought you to that conclusion. If you're dissatisfied with the impact this church, the church has in this nation, good. God has led you to that place. So the question I want to ask is, are we choosing to depend on God? Because they had the question in my mind, we're going to go back to Egypt then, where we can sit around a pot of vegetables and meat. And you know what? A lot of people do that, don't they? They have a Red Sea experience, they go through the River Jordan, they get to this place and they go, do you know what? I'm going back. I'm going to sit down and then go back to what I was doing before. And they leave behind that experience they have with God. And we've seen that lots of times, have we not? We've seen that. So if you're still here, you're doing okay. Okay, but if you're dissatisfied, that's okay as well. If you're struggling with stuff, that's okay, that's good. Okay, because God wants to do something. Okay. I'm getting through this quite quickly, so that's good. So really, I'm on to the final furlong here. I'm on the last bit here. It might be a short but sweet one. So one of the things I'm opening myself up here now. One of the things that God has said to me recently is, start to do that which I've called you to do. Start doing it. Don't worry about what other people want you to do. Start to do what I've called you to do. That's for me. But maybe that's for other people here as well. don't worry about what other people want you to do. Start to do what God has called you to do. Everybody knows in their heart of hearts the thing that God has put within them to do and to say and to be. One of the things I think that God has called me to do, by His Spirit I'm going to do it, is to be a person that musters the troops. That's one thing I believe that God has been talking to me about. But what am I talking about? What am I on about? Well, to muster just means to call out and to gather together, assemble, bring to attention soldiers, isn't it? And that's what God has given me that task to do, I believe, is to call out to the body of Christ, to assemble to it together, okay, to call to attention and speak God's word. That is one of the things I believe God has called me to do. And so that's what I'm going to do, hopefully. That's what I'm going to try and do, hopefully. Now, we go back a few weeks ago, I was up here banging on about fasting and praying, wasn't I? Used the F word again in church. Oh dear. And anyway, God has just been banging on about it to me. Really? Been going on and on about this whole principle, but it's important. And so I believe that God is calling the body of Christ to fast and to pray. Okay? And that links into everything I've just been talking about. It links in big time to what I've just been talking about. So when we mention the F word, fast and pray, we start to say, oh no, that's just, you know, why are we doing that? That's religious maybe, or that's what we're doing, what's the motivation behind it, that kind of stuff. Well, I think God's given me some things to share this morning that will address some of those things, and I want us to think about it in a certain specific way about fasting. Why would we want to do that? Why does God want to call us to do that? Why does He want to call the church to fast and to pray, to seek His face and ask and ask and ask for situations, circumstances, this town, this nation? Why would God want us to do that? Well, fasting, I want us to think about it like this. It is a physical manifestation, this is all a bit wordy again, a physical manifestation of your internal state of being. Right, I've already mentioned this internal state of being, haven't I? Okay, that place of discouragement, that place of hunger, okay, that place of dissatisfaction that God leads us to. Okay, fasting is a physical manifestation of that thing going on within us. It is a picture that we walk in, that we actually choose to do, reflecting what is going on inside of each and every one of us, what is going on in the body of Christ. So we've already said, well, I can identify with what you're saying there, Dan, about hunger, thirsting for God, wanting God to move in ways that we've not seen very regularly, not very often. May not have seen it for a long time. We're hungry for that. We're thirsty for that. We want to see that. We want to see the power of God change things. We want to see Him break out into this nation. We want that. And we're dissatisfied with where we are. Fasting is a picture of that. When we choose to fast, we are saying, Lord, this is what is going on internally. I'm hungering, Lord, for You to work. I'm thirsting, Lord, for You to work. I'm dissatisfied with where I am. I'm dissatisfied with where the body of Christ is. It is a picture of that. And when we choose to step into that, that is what we're walking in. We're walking in that dissatisfaction. We're walking in that thirst. And we're walking in that hunger. It's a picture. All thirsty as well. Just been talking about thirst.
Sorry.
Yeah, so that is a picture of that. That's what it is, a picture of. And what we're saying to God is, we're going to walk in that hunger, we're going to walk in that thirst, we're going to walk in that dissatisfaction. Because when you fast, it's not very nice really, is it? Have you gone without food for any period of time? Even if it's just 6-7 hours, you get hunger pains, you get grouchy. Sometimes I get a bit giddy, a bit lightheaded. I don't like it, I don't want to do that. So why would you want to do it? Well, it's saying to God, Lord, we are hungry. It's saying to God, Lord, we are thirsty. Lord, we are dissatisfied with where I am. Lord, I'm dissatisfied where we are. That's what I want us to think about. I want us to think about it. And we'll hear more about fasting in the near future. You know, I'm not probably the right person to sort of try to, explain how you could do that practically. I'm just not the right person to maybe stand here and try and teach on that. But I understand that someone will be doing that. I think it's going to be Adrian. Joking. I just like to pick on you, Adrian. Yeah, it's your way. So we couple that with prayer, don't we? That process of going to God, repeatedly knocking, repeatedly asking, and repeatedly seeking. That's what I believe God is calling us to do. If you're hungry, if you're thirsty, if you're dissatisfied, if you're cast down a little bit spiritually, then God is saying, okay, then I want you to step out and trust me and become more dependent on me and express that and seek me. Because what God does, he keeps drawing us on, doesn't he? He keeps drawing us on even more. And we're going, oh, Lord. But what does it say in the Beatitudes? What does it say? It says, blessed are what? Yeah. It says, blessed are those that hunger and thirst for righteousness, okay, and they what? They will be filled. Or they will be satisfied, or you will be fed, or you will see me move. You will see God move. He will quench your thirst. He will quench your hunger. He will meet your need. He will break in. He will change things. But it says, it's blessed are those that hunger and thirst for righteousness. Okay. Are we getting this? Mm-hmm. I don't think I really need to say much more. I think I've said everything I need to say. So I just believe that's what God is saying to us. He's calling us to that place. Now, I don't know how we respond to that right here and now. Maybe you just... I don't know. How do you think, Tom? How do you think we respond to this here and now? Stunts. Maybe we just pray. Maybe we just pray as individuals. We pray for each other. I'm not sure.
The thing that struck me... because the issue with quail and manna was in month 2 of them getting out of Egypt. Their attitude was wrong. So God had led them into the place of hunger. Mm. Their attitude was wrong. They had manna and quail for 39 years, 10 months more.
Okay.
Our attitude when we get drawn into a place of hunger needs to be kept right. Otherwise we're not going to get out of it easily. And I thought I'd stand up and say, of course, we're going to sing As the Deer Pants for the Water, but we're not.
No, we're not.
But I think we can go back to that song that we sang this earlier on. It fits in with where Dan's been coming from. It's all my needs, all my hopes. The only place to get them met is by going to the right source. I think initially, that's going to be... I'm going to ask the musicians to come and start playing that. So I think we just need to meditate on it a minute. We need to meditate on it to get our attitude right to the fact that I am totally dissatisfied in one sense. What was it, the phrase somebody used? I'm satisfied with a total
unsatisfiable
dissatisfaction. You know, I'm satisfied with God because he saved me. But I'm totally dissatisfied because I'm not seeing as much of God in my life and in the town as I would like.